Let's just take a moment here. Just as before we get into the Word, we always want to invite and welcome the Holy Spirit to do His work here. That you know, even my best preparation couldn't top what He could do. I could spend a week preparing, and He can do more in 5 seconds than I could with many words. Anyway, so just take 30 seconds and pray quietly by yourself, and then I'll close this. Holy Spirit, come. We love You, and we need Your help. Holy Spirit, we bless You and we thank You for coming to us, just as we sang today. Jesus, You promised that You would not leave us as orphans, but that You would come to us. And we thank You that You come to us carrying with You the Father's words and the Father's heart and His love and His faithfulness and the witness in our spirits that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. And Lord, we thank You for that reality. Thank You for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross that made this possible, that cleansed us from all unrighteousness, that the blood of Jesus, Lord, washed us whiter than snow. And we thank You for giving us Your Spirit and giving us Your righteousness so that we can be received by You fully. And Lord, we thank You for Your heart that did this. And now, Lord, we ask You as we look into Your Word, share Your heart with us even more. Open the eyes of our understanding and enlighten our hearts. We ask that a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who You are, Father, would grip every heart here today. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. So a number of years ago, my wife and I, we went to this conference, and there was an evening session. It was down in Atlanta, and it was just, in the simplest way to say it, it was a marked moment in both of our lives. I can't even, to this day, can't really even tell you what happened. They did have an altar call. Jen went for it. I stayed back with the kids, and I'll just say that the presence of the Lord was just so thick in the room that I felt like I was just much a part to have answered the call. And we look back, and then, like, there's a time of our life. It wasn't like we were backslidden or even just nominal Christians, but this was just a marked night where God did something powerfully in both of us. And it was wonderful and amazing, and I don't even know if I've even been a part of a time like that ever since. So we get back late at night, and I'm the first one up in the morning, and I get up, and I open a cabinet door, and there's this, you know, we got a large family, we got that big tub of Nesquik powder, and I had to get something behind it, and so I pull it out, and it slips out of my hand. Somebody didn't put the lid on tightly, and so this thing drops on the floor, and this chocolate powder bomb just goes off in my kitchen. Pre-coffee. There's one of those moments you're like, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Now, sometimes you're in those moments of just fiery testing. And the enemy he wants to, like, steal your joy, but sometimes we'll think, well, and we lose it kind of in moments like that. We think, well, maybe the night before was just emotions, hype. But that's not the truth, is it? Like, we live in this spiritual reality, and we also have these moments. We also have these challenges, and we just have life. And what's amazing about this gospel is that heaven coming to earth means that heaven, these powerful moments start filling moments like chocolate powder bombs. And so we're today going to take a couple weeks off from James. We just feel like the Lord's just kind of leading us into some things just for a brief period of time. We will get back and we will finish it. But we are going to have a Father's Day message today. And so we're in the book of Ephesians. You can turn to Ephesians chapter 5. But as you look at Paul's writings, he always does this, where he starts off with great spiritual truth, like mind-blowing statements from Paul. And if you read in the beginning of Ephesians, he says things, you were dead, but now you've been made alive and raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenly places, blessed with every spiritual blessing in our minds. I don't even know what that means, but it's awesome. And by the end of Ephesians, where does Paul land? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Children, obey your parents. Slaves, obey your masters. Or employees, obey your employers. Like, and you just realize there's these great spiritual dynamics. And what Paul is pointing to is that this gospel of the kingdom joins the two. So that in our marriages, in our community, in our families, in our workplaces, we are encountering or we are bringing, living out, fleshing out the truth of these great spiritual things. Like the reality of you and I being seated with Christ in the heavenly places has to overflow and transform our marriages and families and workplaces and our faith community here. And Paul just does this masterful job of joining the two. And as we focus today, especially on fathers, understanding that as he goes through fathers and wives and children and employers and employees and brothers and sisters in a community, each one of us has a role in bringing that gospel kingdom reality into the everyday moments. And as we even look a little bit closer into Ephesians, there's this one theme that Paul keeps driving home and coming back to and driving home and coming back to. In the first chapter, he talks about the church being the body of Christ, and he describes it this way, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I remember, you know, before I stepped into lead pastoring, I was an elder, but Before even that role, I always kind of thought the church is just an organization. It's a group of people. But I remember in that season of just serving as an elder, understanding finally what Paul is saying here, like the church, everyday people, this beautiful mess has a destiny and a calling in the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. Like, this is supposed to look like the radiance of Christ in its fullness. And that's something I just fell in love with, and I'd gladly give my life to serve that vision. Chapter 1, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Chapter 2, the church, the body of Christ, in unity to become the dwelling place of God by his Spirit. The fullness of his Spirit inhabiting, living in, dwelling. This is where I call home, the church. He's after the fullness of him. Ephesians chapter 3 prays that we'd have power to grasp the love of Christ, that we might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Chapter 4 says, until we all attain the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What Paul is calling us and driving us into is that we as the people of God would carry the manifestation of the fullness of God in Christ Jesus, and we get to do it in our marriages, in our families, in our workplace. And specifically, today, as we focus on fathers, we have the unique role of being that conduit. We have the unique role of being that interface, that bridge that brings the fullness of God on the earth, specifically in our families. So, that's kind of weighty. That's kind of big. And so you understand, as Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 starts off this, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish but understand what the will of the Lord is. We talked about this a couple weeks ago as we were in James looking at heavenly and earthly wisdom, and I kind of helped to describe wisdom as doing the most good for the most people for the longest period of time. And foolishness is like, I just want this for myself for right now, and I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get it. We have to understand that as if this weight of manifesting, of bringing, of ministering the fullness of God in our families is on us as fathers, then the calling is be mindful of the time. Be mindful of every opportunity that's before you. Live with the long game in view. Live with the larger perspective. Maybe you've heard stories like this of perhaps, you know, one you take some time maybe to think about the factors that played into who made, you know, how you became who you were. And I've heard stories where one generation, the father was an alcoholic, so the daughter, his daughter grew up kind of being fearful of men, and so in her marriage, she kind of manipulated or hid things, and so the son ended up growing up not being able to trust women. And so then you start understanding like these, for better or for worse, everyday moments have generational effects. Be wise. Make the most of every opportunity. The days are evil. How we spend this time, the few years that we do have with our children, make the most of every opportunity. And how would you have me use this moment with them? Sometimes it's easy to just say, I just want them to stop frustrating me. I just want them to stop bothering me. I just want them to behave. And it's foolishness, because we're just trying to serve ourselves in this moment. But God, how in this moment do I shepherd them? Do I train them into the fullness, into an encounter with the fullness of you? And like many of you, if that was the end of the message, then I'd feel pretty overwhelmed and very inadequate for the task. But Paul doesn't just leave us there. He continues on. He gives us instruction, because therefore do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. And obviously, yes, this is a caution against alcohol, drinking alcohol and not leading into drunkenness. But the idea of debauchery, it's a squandering of life. Some versions read dissipation. Which if you think about something dissipating, it means it just kind of comes to nothing. Great. You had a few drinks. You didn't technically get drunk. Feel a little more relaxed. You feel better. So what? Generationally, what have you accomplished? And there's so many, the call here, it's putting aside the distractions, putting aside the temporal things. It's saying, you know what, this is calling me away from my true calling. This is calling me away from the purpose that God has for my house, for this home. It's shepherding my wife and my children into the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. And so instead, do not be drunk with wine that leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And maybe when you hear that term, you think of some sort of wild, charismatic experience. But Paul, right before he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, he uses these words: wisdom, knowledge of the Lord's will, making the most of our time. And if you read down past that, as he instructs wives and children and bosses and employees, he uses words like submission, love, obey, honor. You see, this has nothing to do with being charismatic or evangelical conservatives. Right? This has everything to do with how we walk. You know, if the whole point is the fullness of God in Christ Jesus, I don't know how you get there or do that without the Spirit of Christ filling you and controlling you and leading you and teaching you. Reminding you of the things that Jesus said. And the phrase here is to be continually being filled. It's an ongoing thing. It's not just a one-off experience that you have with a special speaker who prays with you at the altar. It's a daily occurrence. It's a daily pursuit. It's a daily receiving of the fullness of the Spirit. And as we're called to walk in submission, love, and obedience, we need the continual filling of the Holy Spirit. And so fathers, the call today isn't, come on guys, get your act together, shape up, be better. The call is to lay aside the hindrances that distract us, the hindrances that come to nothing, the hindrances that take us off track, and contend for the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the lives of our family. That's an upward call. It's a great call that has, which is why fathers, even if they're not even believers, are worthy of honor on this day and every day. And even as you read past this, as you go through that whole list of relationships that Paul describes here, every aspect testifies to the knowledge of God in Christ Jesus. submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto Christ. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Slaves, work as unto the Lord. And it's the fullness of the Holy Spirit that empowers the fullness of God in every aspect of our lives. And this is so important because think about this. God created man and created woman, and he said, I'm going to create marriage. And then he said, have a family and let it fill the earth and carry the knowledge of me everywhere. And so we understand that God created this thing, and just as all of creation testifies to the knowledge of God, so does marriage and so does family. We understand it's no wonder that the enemy is at such a is doing such a work to try and pervert and destroy marriage and family and all these aspects. He's trying to remove the knowledge of God from the face of the earth. And in this, guys, our families become evangelistic tools. Because the world says what? Your husband, your dad's an idiot. Your wife's a nag. Your children are brats. Your boss is completely incompetent. Versus, do you see the way she respects her husband? Do you see the way he serves his wife? Do you see the way the children honor their parents? Do you see the way this believer works? What is going on here? What's the secret sauce? It's a picture of the kingdom of heaven on the earth. It's what the fullness of God in Christ Jesus looks like fleshed out in the day-to-day moments. So with all that weight, all that glory, all that amazing stuff that's true about what the Spirit of God wants to do and how he wants to do it through fathers and in families, it's kind of amazing that Paul just has a sentence or two here to say in instructions. He says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Ever think of a moment where you've been exasperated? And usually it comes from like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. I don't know how to live up to this expectation. I don't know. I'm trying to please. I'm trying to serve, but I never know if I'm on track or off track, if I'm even getting close to hitting the target. What? And see, if we don't, as fathers, have this vision for shepherding our wives and our children into the fullness of God, then we're kind of all over the place. And it kind of just comes down to just stop bothering me. Straighten up. Behave. I have a lot of examples, but I struggle sometimes because I know more than anybody else here how many times I've blown it as a father. Like, seriously, blown it. But we had one vision. One vision for our children. Everything else can take a back seat. Everything else becomes secondary. And that is that we wanted them to have a vibrant relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. Period. Period. Reading, writing, arithmetic, back seat. First things first. And that means more than just, I want them to say a prayer and get baptized and, whoo, we won, we did it. No, it's teaching them to have a relationship and walk in relationship with the person of Jesus. That's the vision. That's the target. That's the goal. That's the win. And everything else will figure itself out. So Paul says, don't exasperate your children. Fathers, that means that we need to have a clear understanding of where this is going and what we're supposed to be on track with. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The NLT reads it this way, bring them up in the training or in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. I like that word. I think that wording is helpful there. Because that means I have to be on a receiving end of something. It has to be coming from him in order for me to give it to my children. Which what that does for me is it maintains that I have to have a vibrant relationship with the person of Jesus. That means this thing has to be alive and active. It's not just simply, here's some good moral teachings to help you be a better citizen. This is how you walk with the Lord when there's a bully at school. This is how you walk with the Lord when your friends betray you. This is how you walk with the Lord when there's offense in your life. This is how you walk with the Lord in forgiveness. This is how you obey when you don't really want to. This is how we do this. There's a book that we recommend. It's called Shepherding a Child's Heart. And one of the things I so appreciated that he highlighted in this book is that when that dynamic is alive in dad and even in mom, then it changes the conversation. Because it's no longer about, well, as long as you're in my house, you're going to do it my way. The conversation now becomes, we are all under the authority of the Word of God. I have to move in obedience to Jesus, and I'm helping to train you in walking in obedience to Jesus, and I'm going to shepherd you into experiencing the fullness of God as you walk. Because you can't lead where you haven't been. And some of you may even be thinking here, well, my father wasn't that great. I didn't really have a good example as a father. But as was shared already today, you have the spirit of sonship living inside us so that we can know the Father. Like, you have a perfect example of a heavenly Father, the person of the Holy Spirit pouring the love of the Father into our hearts. In fact, we all like to quote, is it the Shema, I believe, the Deuteronomy 6, this lifestyle of instruction from the Old Testament. As you rise, as you go to bed, as you sit down for a meal, teach them, train them. The first thing it says before all that is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. See, this is just an overflow of what's in here. And so we kind of undermine our own authority when we say, hey, go after Jesus, but if it's not here, then what are we speaking from? Shepherding them into the fullness of God. We had a daughter, we still do. And I don't know where she got it from, but boy, she just had the gift of rage. Like, just raw. True story, Jess and Craig were babysitting her one night, her and her older sister, and we came back and they said, we had to discipline her. I said, what happened? Well, she got upset, and she literally went to bite the face of her older sister. Like, ha! Like, and bite the face! Pastor's kids, they're the worst. So don't get any idea, like, everything's just been rose-colored glasses in our home. So one day, my wife and I were in another room, and we hear out in the living room, I hate you, you idiot. Sometimes you have, you know, as a father, you think about having a daughter, and you think little princess and tea time and all these sweet little things. I was so upset. I didn't speak out in my anger, but I didn't know what to say or what to do, but this is just so unacceptable. And I'm thinking, where did this come? Like, we don't let her watch violent movies. We, you know, she's still at the age where she's watching cartoon, but our little cherub had a sin problem. Our little cherub had murder in her heart. For real. That's funny, but no, for real. I didn't know what to do. I said, get in here. And I sat down, and I'm just turning in the Bible to the only verse that's coming to my mind, because I don't even know what to say at this moment. My hands are literally shaking as I'm turning to the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, if you hate your brother or sister, you are guilty of murder. And if you call someone a fool, you are worthy of the fires of hell, princess. I didn't say it in that tone, but straightforward, sweetie, this is what Jesus says is in your heart right now. You're guilty of murder. You're worthy of the fires of hell. And if we don't deal with this, it's going to destroy you and destroy every relationship in your life. And I want you to know something. Daddy has the same issues in his heart. Daddy has the same propensity in his heart. But I've had to repent and ask for forgiveness. And I've had to ask the Holy Spirit to come and help me, and he's changed me. Of course, we walk through reconciliation with her and her siblings and all that. And I don't even know what to happen. I can't even remember it as being like one of my most anointed moments as a parent. Like I said, I was just so upset. But just from that, we saw the rage in her life go from here to here. Like, it was just dramatic, the difference. And then sometime later, we had an intern here that was preached one Sunday, and he just preached on the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And he said, would any of you like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? She was the only one that responded that Sunday. Right here. She came and she asked for prayer. And nothing dramatic happened at all, other than the fact that the rage was gone. We have to shepherd them into the fullness. That's our great calling. That's the target. We have another story. It's that our daughter, for her birthday one time, got one of those Bratz dolls. You know what I'm talking about? Those little demonized preteen dolls. That, like, why would we encourage this attitude? We didn't like it. But we didn't say anything. And on the ride home, she says, Daddy, I don't think I like this doll. I said, well, what do you think we should do about it? She goes, I don't know. I said, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to go ask Jesus what you should do about it. I said, have you ever heard from Jesus before? Has he ever spoken to you? She said, no. I said, okay, here's what you do. When you get home, I want you to go to bed. I want you to lay there and say, Jesus, what should I do about the doll? And then get real quiet and just listen. The next morning she gets up. She said, I think Jesus told me to get rid of the doll. I said, then I'll do what he says. We have to shepherd them into the fullness of a vibrant relationship, the fullness of Jesus just being alive and moving in their lives. That's the win. That's the one goal. Everything else takes a back seat. Everything else will figure this out. Raise them in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So I'm going to close, and then we want to finish our time this morning. Something a little bit different, but you know, just some practical ways that this works out is that, you know, fathers, we lead the charge in showing up in meeting with the body. If there's something going on in the body, like we demonstrate, because we're leading the path, we're setting the pace, that hey, it's important to be a part of this and what's going on here. One is that they've heard all of my stories, they've heard all of my lessons, but it's powerful when they start hearing it from aunts and uncles in the body, other fathers and mothers, other grandparents, the testimonies of the faithfulness and the goodness of God. That's why you need to be sharing them, and that's why my children need to be hearing them. They need to know God's real, and it's not just because Dad says so. Look, we got a whole bunch of people here who've met with him. They need your testimony. I need your testimony. You need to be sharing your testimony. You know, we're about to enter into 3 days of prayer and fasting. That's not just for the adults. Fathers, you can set the pace here and get with your wives and say, listen, we're gonna give these 3 days to the Lord. What does that look like? What's a practical way we can mark these days to say Jesus is the most important thing in our life? What will we give up for 3 days? How will we get away with the Lord and spend time with him as a family for 3 days? And let me just put away any ideas that an angel's going to show up, you're going to be taken up to the third heavens, kids are going to be knocking stuff over, they're going to be making noise, they're going to be in little squabbles with themselves. Of course they are. That's why the parents are there, right? Like to give instruction, to give leadership, to shepherd them into it. Like, you know, we had six kids, and so all the kids were down in the front row, but that would just attract more kids. And it used to be there's this whole worship time that was happening with children up here. And they all had flags, And they'd be dancing, and it was beautiful, until flag waving turned into sword fighting, or dancing in a circle turned into chase. And not that they were always just really into the Lord until that point, but when that would happen, we'd just pull them aside and say, hey, what's this time about? Jesus. Okay, let's focus on him. That's it. Just we're reiterating the fact, Jesus, you're the most important thing here. But not only that, they had opportunities. Right? They had the same Spirit, and the Spirit has the same gifts. So they had opportunities to give words for people. They had opportunities to pray for healing. They had opportunities to do all sorts of wonderful things. And they learned how to be a part of the body and what this meant as we serve one another in this way. So we made showing up a priority. We made serving together a priority. Like sometimes there's this false idea that if you're too involved with church, it'll wreck your family. Not if you serve together. But again, fathers, that requires us to be active in leading the way and setting the pace and setting the standards. Because now I'm serving alongside my children, though they're serving alongside me. And I've said this before, but church work days are amazing because then they get to work alongside other believers as well. And there's things they're learning and catching that I'm not even having or not even realizing until later on. How else will children learn to sacrifice, serve the greater good, put others before themselves, unless we demonstrate this for them? So we show up, we serve together. We're active disciplinarians. I hate the question, which one of you is more the disciplinarian? Right? Both of you are. And fathers, back up mom when she lays something down, you uphold it. You both have to take initiative and show consistency. And one of the most fun ways, so we show up, we serve together, we're part of discipline. And husbands, you can love your wife well. Show your sons, show your daughters how a man of God treats his wife, how a man of God will love his wife like Christ loved the church and give himself for her. Let him see it in action so that your daughters know what to look for, and your boys know what to aspire for. Prioritize your wife over them. Prioritize your wife over them. We told this to our children multiple times. You are going to leave. Your time with us is limited. My time with her is forever. This is more important than this. We love you. That's why we're going away. But it's the truth, and they know. It makes them feel secure. And finally, the fun one, show them the heat of a godly marriage. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Show them the heat of a godly marriage. Show them that Hollywood and porn can't hold a candle to what love in a godly marriage looks like. That means lots of kissing, flirting, playful pats, in the kitchen, gross them out because it makes them feel safe. And if it helps men, you could say, Pastor Aaron said so, that I'm doing this for you, kids. All right. And one more thing, I call it now the apology script. I've shared this with you before, but you know, we have this way sometimes of kind of trying to bypass humility, and literally, like I need to write this out and just hand it out to everybody and say, you need to say this and do it in this way, word for word. But like, would you please, when you mess up, fathers, when you mess up, you say, would you please forgive me? You have to ask for something. That's humility. I'm asking something from you that I can't do anything about. It's up totally up to you. I'm at your mercy. Would you please forgive me? And then list it. Name it. Not would you please forgive me, I was a jerk. Would you please forgive me, I lost my temper, I used foul language, I wasn't as honest as I should have. Would you please forgive me for these things? Like, name it, own it fully. Don't just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry doesn't communicate anything. It doesn't humble yourself in any way. And at that point, we all know that you're sorry anyway. Would you please forgive me? And then we also demonstrate when we've been wronged, we say, I do forgive you. And we're quick to show grace and mercy and forgiveness. Because then we know it's settled. And whatever happened isn't ever used as a weapon ever again, because it was forgiven. It's done for. This is what the fullness of the kingdom of God on the earth looks like. And it's not that we're expecting perfection, but we're expecting godly character. We're expecting men of integrity to own their mistakes, to make them right, and to walk in repentance. We tell people all the time with our kids, we've apologized a lot. A lot. And they don't disrespect us for it. They know that when they, like, sometimes it's going, like, it's difficult to do this with your spouse. It's even more difficult to do this with your children, because something inside me is like, they're going to think they get away with it or that it's okay. They end up respecting you for it. They end up saying, you know, my dad's a man of integrity and character. And when he's wrong, he owns it, and he's quick to own it. He's quick to humble himself. I want that in my life. This is what the fullness of the kingdom of God looks like in our lives. This is the great calling we have as men. This is why we make it easy. We try and make it a joy for them to serve us by honoring them. Children, by obeying them. Wives, by showing them respect. I had an extra thought there, and I think it just slipped away, but that's what the Word of God has to say on the matter. And we're going to transition here. So be on your toes. All right? So would you come and share? Jen, part of what we wanted to do today is we just felt like the Lord was speaking some things, and we just wanted to take an opportunity in that. So
hello. Okay. Hi, Andrew. Love you. All right. Psalm 127, so many of us know this. I read it probably a few months ago, and I just felt like the Lord had a word for us with it, so I'm going to share it and then share what I heard. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not put you to shame when they contend for their opponents in court. Anyway, I was reading that, and, you know, not always are kids a pleasure, right? Parents, sometimes we have a hard time with them. And so I know it was during one of those seasons where things were a little harder. I love them, but I'm not sure if I like you right now. And the Lord showed me this verse, and he said, they are a heritage from me. They're a reward. And then he told me to look up heritage. And heritage means a special or individual possession. It means the traditions, achievements, beliefs, etc., that are part of the history of a nation. So God simplified it for me, and he said, my kids, your kids are a special possession. They are the achievements that are part of your history. And I just felt like we needed to all hear that. I know we all love our kids, but we need to know that they are a special possession, that they are the achievements that are part of our history, our story. And so with that.
Yeah, very good. All right. All right, we're going to get awkward just for a brief moment here. Okay. Can you grab the kids from the nursery, or tell them just to come on in and return the children to their parents if they're not there. All right. So, are you pointing at somebody? Or they're coming in? Awesome. Perfect. Okay. So, if you're still in your parents' house, would you raise your hand? All right. I need all of you to come down here. Come on. Come on, girls. All right. I know. Your inheritance, your blessing from the Lord, not just biologically, but spiritually as well. And so here's what we're going to take a few minutes just to close out the time. Normally close the time with praying for one another, but we thought on this day, let's do something a little different. And so especially, fathers, I want you to come down, and we're going to take some time and just pray blessing over our children. And mothers, you can come too, but I'm calling especially fathers. And if you're a spiritual father, and by spiritual father, I don't mean like I've got a special connection to this one, but you're a father in the faith, you're an older man in the faith, I want you to come down as well too. And lay your hands on some young men here, lay your hands on some children, and pray blessing over them. This is just an opportunity to exercise this. Yeah. So if you're a family, get together. So, because your parents are older and they get confused. All right. And even if there's children here whose fathers aren't around today, let's make it a point as well. All right. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for our blessing. We thank you for our inheritance from you. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of releasing these arrows, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to see your kingdom purposes accomplished through them, beyond our years, beyond our days, Lord. We thank you for the works that you're going to do through them. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we bless them. And we just speak your peace and your guidance and the fullness of your Spirit over each one of them right now in Jesus' name. Let's continue to pray.
Thank you. decided that they would know you, that they would know where you want them to be, where you want them to go, that they would keep you above all else, and that they continue to walk in this world. Father, we just pray that you would unite them with people who are like-minded like they are, that they become good friends, and later on in life, let's get them to find a woman in their life. Father, we pray that they would be a godly woman.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Father, you would just continuously enlighten them, guide them. I can't say that enough, Father. I thank you for them. I pray your blessings over them.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Father, thank you for my sons, Lord. And I just pray right now, Lord, that even more so, God, you would grip their hearts and keep them soft and tender towards you. Father, I pray that they would love you with all their being. God, I pray that they would know you fully. Lord, I pray that you would guide their steps. Lord, that you would keep their hearts soft towards you and responsive. And Lord, bless them in their work. Bless them in their relationships. And Father, I pray for my son-in-laws and the three daughters that aren't here with us right now, Lord, that you would bless their marriages and just, Lord, grow them in the knowledge of you as well. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, just for six amazing, wonderful kids. I thank you for the joy that they bring me every day. And Lord, we just, I thank you that your hand's on each one of them. In Jesus' name.
So, Lord, as we're just praying over our children, that verse about them being arrows. Arrows are designed for war. And help us to remember that we're at war. Like, we don't live in peace times, we live in war times. So we pray over our children that they would be like weapons against the kingdom of darkness. Jesus, you came